Now let's continue on and see about David and the tabernacle and then the temple. Now, the ark was at Kirjath Jearim when David began to reign. And when the kingdom was solidified to him and God gave him rest all about, he brought the Ark of the Covenant from Kirjath Jearim up to his house, and he had a special tent there where the Ark resided right in David's house. And there is where David would go and compose his psalms and praise God, and all of those we have written in the book of the Psalms, don't we? Yes. Now here in chapter 7, we have a very unusual thing take place, because David was living in the house that he had built for himself. And here was a tent, was a tabernacle, was in the tent. And that's where the presence of God was. And so David one night was sitting there praying and thinking. And so let's see what happened here in 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter. 2 Samuel, chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass, when the king dwelt in his house, when the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within curtains." Then Nathan said to the king, "Go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." Now listen, brethren, here's a great lesson for us. When God blesses us, let's not get carried away in lust. Because after chapter 7, then occurred the account of what? David and Bathsheba, and the killing of her husband Uriah the Hittite. So let's remember that. When God blesses us, let's not get carried away in stupidity and vanity and arrogance and lust and greed and be thinking that we are so special that we can do carnal things and live like the world and expect God to bless us. That'll never happen. Never has happened. Never will happen. But here was a time when David received all the blessings of God. Now, he was well-intentioned here, wasn't he? Probably inspired by God to do this. Now, verse 4, "And it came to pass that night, the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, 'Go tell David, my servant David, thus says the Lord, shall you build me a house for my dwelling?' Will you really? For I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought the children of Israel out of Egypt until this day, but have walked in a tent and a tabernacle in all places in which I have walked with all the children of Israel. Did I speak a word with any of the tribes of Israel, those whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, 'Why do you not build a house for me of cedars?' Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheep cooties, from following the sheep to be prince over my people Israel. Remember where you have come from." All of us, we need to remember where we have come from. So when you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and look at your faces, whatever it may be in the morning, you know in your heart that we're not anything to get all excited over and exalted about to try and do great carnal things when God has brought us to where we are. Okay? Remember from where you have come. Don't ever forget that. "And I was with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies out of your sight, and have made you a great name like the name of the great ones in the earth." Then he gives a prophecy that he is yet going to move Israel. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and plant them so that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. That's why the 10 tribes of Israel did move, and we are their descendants today. Neither shall the sons of wickedness afflict them any more as before. And even from the time that I commanded the judges to be over my people of Israel, so will I cause you to rest from your enemies. Also the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. See, because no man is going to do a great thing for God. Is not God the one who's going to give us eternal life? Is not God the one who wants us to dwell with him? Are we going to go to God and say, God, dwell with me? Of course not. Now continuing, verse 12. And when your days are fulfilled, and you shall sleep with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who shall come forth from your loins, and I will make his kingdom sure. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be to him for a father, and he shall be to me for a son. Then he gives warning. Notice every time there comes a blessing, there also comes a warning. You see, and we are to learn from the things that are in the Bible. Have we been called to rule in the kingdom of God? Yes. Are we going to be kings and priests? Yes. But we're not going to be there if we go out and live in sin. Just like he said here. He said, continuing now, if. There's that big two-letter word. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rods of men and with the stripes of the Son of Men. But my mercy shall not leave him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before you, and your throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. Notice David's response. It was humble. But David didn't stay that way. He got exalted in his sin. God forgave him his sin, but he had punishment the rest of his life. So where's God going to dwell? All right, now David was not the one who was going to finish it. David was not the one, but notice his initial response. Verse 18, then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, now right before the tent of the tabernacle, very humbled, probably tears in his eyes, great feeling of love and mercy and humility, because God would do this. And he said, who am I, O Lord? Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me here? And this was yet a small thing in your sight, O Lord God. But you have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. And this is the manner of men. And is this the manner of men, O Lord God? And what can David say more to you? For you, O Lord God, know your servant. For your servant's sake and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant know. Therefore you are great. There is none like you. He exalted God. Now after he had overcome, reestablished himself after the situation with Bathsheba and killing Uriah the Hittite, God forgiving him his sin, God punishing him as thorn in the flesh, his family was against him, and trouble in his family, but God didn't desert him. But he chose Solomon, his son, to build the house. So let's see what happened with Solomon. And again, let's see what God did. Let's see how David recovered himself from his sin, and he was able to instruct Solomon on what he should do and how he should behave. Now let's come to 2 Chronicles 28. And here was a great gathering of all the dignitaries of the land of Israel, all the princes of the tribes of Israel, all the commanders, all of the king's servants. And here was the instruction now that David was giving to Solomon his son. And we know that God was pleased with Solomon because of his attitude. And you see, isn't it interesting how we all start out with a humble, willing attitude? But the question is this: how do we maintain that all of our lives? Well, the answer is by yielding to God and loving Him and taking every day one at a time. Now let's see what happened here with David's instruction and this spectacular assembly that they had. Now just kind of envision this if you could. And David gathered to Jerusalem all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, the commanders of the divisions that ministered to the king by division, the commanders over the thousands, commanders over the hundreds, and stewards over all the property and livestock of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty ones and all the valiant men. All gathered there before the king. What a sight that must have been. Verse 2, and David, the king, stood up on his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations for the building. But God said to me, 'You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood.' However, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my fathers to be king over Israel forever, for he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father's house, he was pleased to make me king over all Israel." And remember, God told him, "I chose you from the sheep cooties." So let's all remember from whence we came, all right? Now continuing, verse 5. "And all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said to me, 'Solomon your son shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father.'" Now I want you to stop and think. Let's draw a parallel here. We're not going to build a house for God, but in a sense, we are the house of God. And God has chosen us to rule and reign with Christ and to rule over the nations of the world, and to bring salvation to the world. So we need to think about that. There are many parallels that we can draw here. And think of what it's going to be like on the sea of glass when we're resurrected and we're there with all the saints, and we see Jesus Christ and God the Father and all the saints, and Christ is going to have a meeting like this to explain to us what we are going to do. Let's remember from where we came. All right? Verse 7, "And I will establish his kingdom forever if," there's that word again, "he continues resolute in keeping my commandments and my ordinances as it is today. Now in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, keep and seek all the commandments of the Lord your God, so that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever." Now that was, he was telling all of them out there, now listen, you got to keep God's commandments too. Then he turned to his son and he said, "And you, Solomon, my son, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with a perfect heart." Isn't that what we need? A perfect heart. And how are our hearts made perfect? But by repentance and the Spirit of God. by loving God, by having the laws and commandments and the Word of God written in our hearts and in our minds, right? A perfect heart. And with a willing mind. Unfortunately, Solomon forgot that. So you see how big that little two-letter word if is. Now let's continue here. For the Lord searches all the hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. But if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. So then David summed it up this way. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave him all the plans, gave him everything. He said, now God has given me these plans. These are revealed from God himself. Now let's come down to verse 20. After he got done saying that, here's what he told Solomon. Now this is what it needs to be for us. This is why we're here keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. So we can learn to be strong in the Lord, strong in his spirit, strong in the love of God, strong in the faith of God, you see. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work of the service of the house of the Lord. Now you go to Hebrews 13. What did Jesus promise us? That he will not ever leave us or forsake us. No, never. So be encouraged by that. Be encouraged by what was done. All right. Now we know that God appeared to Solomon twice, gave him wisdom, blessed him. Now we have here, let's come to 2 Chronicles, the 5th chapter. Just a few pages over here. 2 Chronicles, the 5th chapter. Now everything, all the work was finished. They brought the tabernacle from Gibeon and put it in the archives of the temple. They brought the Ark of the Covenant from David's house, and the priest put it into the Holy of Holies. There was a great assembly of people. And this probably took place on the Feast of Trumpets. The dedication of the temple by Solomon was awesome indeed. And all Israel was there. And they kept the dedication of the altar and the temple for 7 days. Then they had the Day of Atonement in between. And then for the Feast of Tabernacles, then they kept the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. And at the end of 8 days, Solomon sent them away, everyone to his own house. Now here, let's come to chapter 5 and verse 11. God wanted all Israel to know that his presence was in the temple. And everything from Israel now on would center around the temple. And he promised David that he would put his name there forever. Let's see what happened. Quite a demonstration here. And it came to pass, when the priest came out of the holy place after taking in the ark, for all the priests present were sanctified and did not wait by course. That means they were all there. As a matter of fact, throughout the whole temple area, they set up extra altars for burnt offerings and sacrifices, and it was a spectacular thing. All the people of Israel came, and God's presence was there, and God's spirit was there. Now, notice what happened. And the Levitical singers, all of them, of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, and with their sons and their brethren, being clothed in white linen, having cymbals with harps and lyres, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with silver trumpets. Yes, On the day of trumpets, the memorial of blowing of trumpets, this was the most exciting and fantastic day. That is, until the coming return of Jesus Christ. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the silver trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever," that the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Everyone could see this. So that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. What a spectacular event that was. Then Solomon gave his prayer. And after he was done praying, then fire came down from heaven and devoured all the sacrifices that he had made. Everyone knew that God was there. God was dwelling among his people. God was pleased to be there. The people were pleased that God was there. Now the question is, like with us, God is pleased to dwell with us today. But are we going to drive him away like they did because of sin? So as we will see, this is a type of the kingdom of God. At that time, Solomon had peace. He was the wisest man in the world, the richest man in the world, and all the ships of the shipping lanes would come and bring gold and silver and ivory and precious jewels, and they would bring all kinds of things to Solomon. Now, Solomon made a great mistake because Solomon did not do what God commanded the kings of Israel to do. Let's read that in Deuteronomy 17. Now, this is why, brethren, it's very important for us. You've heard it said over and over again, prayer and study, prayer and study, prayer and study. Because that's how we are going to use and develop the Spirit of God, so that when the resurrection occurs and we enter into the kingdom of God and we possess the kingdom and we rule the world, you see, we will have the character of God as part of our very being and inheritance. But Solomon did not follow the instructions. Let's come here to verse 14. And when you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, Deuteronomy 17 and verse 14 now, and shall possess it and shall live in it, and shall say, "I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me." Now we just saw that was done. Now Solomon is the king. Now David, even though he sinned, he followed God's commandments, even though he had to repent of what he did. God still blessed him. He wrote psalms. He wrote songs. He wrote these things. He set up the whole organization for the 12 tribes of Israel centered in Jerusalem. He set up the priesthood. He set up the courses. He set up everything. God gave him the plans for the temple. Now, God put his presence in there. Solomon was king. Solomon prayed. God answered his prayer, devoured the sacrifices right off the altar. But later, he forgot, because he didn't do this. Let's read it. And shall live in it, and shall say, "I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. You shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God shall choose." God chose Solomon, correct? Yes. God chose David, correct? Yes. God chose Saul, correct? Yes. "You shall set a king over you from among your brethren. You shall not set a stranger over you who is not your brother. Only he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt so as to multiply horses because the Lord your God has said to you, you shall not return that way again. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. Well, Solomon sure broke that, didn't he? 300 wives, 700 concubines? So that his heart does not turn away. Nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold to himself. Well, God gave him silver and gold beyond belief. And he wasn't grateful. He wasn't thankful. Now, here's what he should have done, which he didn't do. And it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from that which is in the custody of the priest, the Levite. And he shall have it with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life. Make his own personal copy of the laws of God. Now notice why. So that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, so that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren. And that it is, does not turn aside from the commandments to the right or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Well, you know what happened. Solomon turned, worshipped other gods. God divided the kingdom. Children of Israel were sent off into captivity. Children of Israel came back from captivity. Come down to the time of Christ. Then we have the church. And now we have the church clear down to our age. Now we are looking forward to the kingdom of God, where we are going to share the rulership of the world. So God is doing a spiritual work. We'll talk more about that in the other days during the Feast of Tabernacles here. But let's look at the temple, not the temple, but the tabernacle that God is going to set up when Christ returns. Let's come to Isaiah, the 4th chapter. It's not going to be a temple made of stone. No, it's going to be a tremendous tabernacle. And God is going to dwell there. And we are going to have access to it. Now let's read it here. Verse 5 of Isaiah 4. Here is the house of God, where all nations are going to come and say, come, let us go up to the house of God. Now we'll see that in just a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself, so let's come here to Isaiah 4 and verse 5. And the Lord will create over every dwelling place of Mount Zion. Now, Mount Zion is where God is going to be. That's where the thrones of David will be. That's where the thrones of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be. That's where the thrones of the prophets will be. Mount Zion, and over her assemblies, a cloud and a smoke by day. Just like when God was with the children of Israel in the wilderness. And a shining of flaming fire by night. For over all the glory shall be a canopy. Not something? Not just a temple made of stone, but one made by the hand of God. That's going to be the temple during the millennium. And there shall be a tabernacle for shade by day from heat, and for refuge and for shelter from storm and rain. Isn't that something? No. What are the nations going to do? Let's see what they're going to do. Let's come here to Isaiah, the 2nd chapter. Verse 2, and it shall come to pass in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. That is the rulership of God over the nations. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, there are going to be some cantankerous nations that will not want to submit right away, but they eventually will. Christ is going to persuade them, because as we read in Zechariah 14, if they don't want to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, then there's some things going to happen to them. So they will be persuaded. Yes, indeed. All right. Let's see what it's going to be. Let's come over here to Isaiah 11, and then tomorrow we'll go over some of the other things concerning the reign of the Lord. All right, Isaiah 11. Here's the prophecy of it. And brethren, do you know what Peter wrote about in 2 Peter, the first chapter, about the confirmed prophetic word? Now, what does that mean? That means this. We have the word of God in the Old Testament with all of the prophecies, all about Christ, all about his ministry, all about his crucifixion and death and resurrection. Then he writes, we have the confirmed prophetic word, which then is what? All the writings of the apostles, which confirm that these things did happen because they were the witnesses from Christ. That's why we need to take heed to the confirmed prophetic word. Old Testament, New Testament, all of the Bible, brethren. Now, here's what it's going to be like. Verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Because that's what he's going to teach the people. And we will all worship and serve God the Father. All right? His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge according to the sight of his eyes, nor after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and shall reprove with equity the meek of the earth, and he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. No wickedness is going to continue in the kingdom of God. And in order for the kingdom of God to be successful, we see that God has to give all of Israel a heart of flesh. Now notice. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Also the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. All of these things are going to happen. What a world this is going to be. This is our inheritance, brethren. This is what God is calling us to bring this to the world. You are the future elite of this world. You are the ones that God has chosen. And we will be in that assembly when Christ speaks to us and tells us what we are going to do, and then brings us from the sea of glass down to the earth. Satan is removed. The millennium begins. The reign of God is over all the earth. And here's how it's going to be. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the cub lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Not like it is today, wondering where your child is. Has he been kidnapped or killed? And a cow and a bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Now the next couple of verses are going to be absolute miracle. This shows you the change of the nature of all wildlife, and how this earth is going to be blessed because of the presence of God and the saints with him, the children of God, bearing the rule of God, bringing the love of God, bringing the truth of God, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. What a change! Change of human nature, a change of the world, a change of the whole animal kingdom, everything, because God rules and the saints rule. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. And here's what we're going to bring to the world, brethren. And all the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be the root of David standing as a banner for the people right there at the tabernacle of God. To him the nation shall seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And brethren, that's when God will be dwelling on the earth. We'll be dwelling with him, with all the people, to bring in the glorious reign of Jesus Christ and the millennium. We will serve, as we have seen, as kings and as priests. So this is why we're here. This is why we keep the Feast of Tabernacles, so that we can always understand our purpose, where we're going, what we're doing, and how God is going to get us there. So we'll see you tomorrow on the next day of the feast.